This is Lightning Playoff Rewind.
Travis check by Mikula. Pete Stamkos. Score! Stamkos! What a big goal for the Lightning! Steven Stamkos buries it! 5-3 Lightning!
A little bit of it, it's the playoffs, man. It's going to be, there's going to be ups and downs throughout a game, throughout a series, and throughout a period, and that's what happened tonight. They had a little bit of pushback, and excellent third period by our guys. Just kind of simplified it, did everything right, and just a solid third period to close the door.
I think we just did a good job of making plays when we had had space, and when we didn't have space, we attacked it behind our D and let our forecheck do the job.
But after 40 minutes, whether it's 1-0, 3-2, 9-8. It's a one goal lead going into the third. What are you going to do with it? And, you know, for us to hold them to five shots and, you know, probably frustrate them a little, that was big for us.
He's a warrior, you know. I think it was right around Christmas time there. He takes a terrible accident. It's just to see, you know, all the work he put in the rehab and to see that tonight was outstanding. You know, he's a warrior, he's a tough guy. And it just shows how much he wants it for this team and what we're willing to do to go all the way.
It felt great. Fans were very loud for me, and I appreciate that a lot. And I felt like a hockey player again. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
To break down yesterday's playoff action, here's Bobby Fenton on Lightning Radio 24/7 on the Lightning mobile app.
All right, and welcome to a happy edition of Lightning Playoff Rewind here on the Lightning Audio Network. Bobby Fenton coming to you on this Sunday morning post game 4, and we still have a series currently undergoing because the Lightning win the game and stave off elimination, at least for the first time. We hope they do it again and again and again, but they turn a 3-0 series into a 3-1 series with their win in game 4 last night, or how you call it, later afternoon, yesterday evening at Amalie Arena, and it was a pretty exciting one. It wasn't just a ho-hum type of win, 6-3 the final score. In a game, the Lightning scored 3 first-period goals in before things narrowed and ended up being a one-goal game later on. Lightning pulled away and were able to get the 3-goal win after that, and with it, earned themselves the opportunity to get on a plane and go back down to Sunrise and play Game 5. That'll be on Monday night at 7 p.m. down there. And, you know, like we said the other day, and we're going to talk about it on today's show, you can't do this all at one time. The Panthers didn't build a 3-0 lead all at one time. They did it one game at a time, and that's what the Lightning are going to have to do now. But one more win would start to make it a little bit interesting. It would 3-1, still 3-1. Okay, but Monday night, Lightning win that one. All of a sudden, things start to get a little bit more dicey, especially if you're wearing red and navy blue. But it's great to be here with you this morning. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be here, like I always tell you guys, we hope it's 20-something games every time we do it, but we're ready to go however long it is, and we're just glad to have a next game and a next show right now. I am joined by my partner, my friend, the guy behind the scenes, the guy in front of the scenes, the director, the producer, whatever you want to call it, of the Lightning Audio Network, Steve Versnick, on this Sunday morning. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm good, and I'm still trying to get my hearing back from that introduction of Mikhail Sergachev in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and Cooper talked about it. I mean, people love comeback stories, guys coming back from injury. That goes back to Willis Reed at the Knicks. And, you know, when we've seen this before, Stamkos did it. It was in the bubble, so we never got to enjoy it at home. But,
Stamkos did it in Game 7 against the Penguins.
I'm thinking of 2020. It was 2021. You're right.
Against the Penguins back in, was it 16?
Oh, you're thinking way back. Yeah, that was even, I was thinking of just the one in the bubble where he scored.
But Game 7, it was Dallas. 3-3. It was 3-3 going to Game 7, and Stamkos was a surprise return in that.
He was
that
out
one.
That year, too. You're right. Yeah, that was, man. So we've seen it before. Mm-hmm. But Sergachev was, a pretty gnarly injury, and it happened later in the season, and it wasn't really, I mean, I kind of just,
but February 7th, I believe, was the day it happened at Madison Square Garden.
And, you know, we've been seeing him and seeing reports, and he's been out there skating. First, he skated a little bit. Then he had the non-contact jersey. Then he was skating without the non-contact jersey. And, of course, it got to be 3-0. So if you're going to do it, you know, yesterday was the time. And he comes back in and doesn't just get out there symbolically either. Has an impact on the game. And, yeah, the right off the bat, even before the puck drop, the arena was buzzing. People were feeling it. big emotional boost there.
Well, when he was introduced at the starting, and John Cooper mentioned it. I mean, normally the starting lineups, they announce the players, and it builds your crescendo, and Vazzy gets the biggest applause. He's the starting goalie. But when they announced Kucherov or Sergachev right before Vazzy, like, you couldn't hear in the arena. Like,
couldn't hear the rest of it.
He was right. When Paul Porter then announced Vazzy as the starting goalie, you could barely hear it. Like, it was... I've never heard a starting lineup eruption like that at Amalie Arena. That was fantastic.
It was a really cool thing.
And you know that the players fed off that. And the way they played in that first period showed that they took that energy. Look, sometimes the players have to give the crowd energy, and sometimes the crowd can give the players energy. And it was probably a little bit of both. I mean, the Lightning, you have their backs against the wall. They had to come out with energy. But then you get that crowd that fired up because they, you know, until 30 minutes prior to puck drop, no one knew Sergachev was coming back. So as he takes warm-ups, that's when you kind of, you know, start to know that. And, you know, John Cooper smartly put him in the starting lineup so that you get that ovation.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah. I was getting, like, my phone started beeping a bunch at, like, yeah, like 4-something. And this game snuck up on me today because the 5 o'clock start's not something you're used to.
Yep.
And it's, you're thinking, okay, the game tonight, like always, but it was at 5 o'clock. And I was like, whoa, okay. And then, yeah, they're warming up, and Sergachev's in the lineup, and it gave everybody just a real, real big pick-me-up. And even that, though, I mean, that's not going to get it done for you. You know, everybody yelling and screaming is cool for a few minutes, and the emotions are cool for a few minutes, but then you got to go out and play hockey. And the Lightning did that phenomenally in the first period. Finally, it wasn't just that they got a quick goal or something like that. They flat-out took it to Florida, and... I was actually in the car like the first few minutes before I got inside, and I actually got to hear Dave, Mishkin, and Espo on the call when Kucherov had the big hit on Montour. And that's when I said, okay, hey, that, you know, I think it's kind of corny. Sometimes people say, oh, we're going to send a message and get physical and blah, 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 blah. You know, that people overplay that, I think, most of the time. But that hit kind of, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't playing, but if I had been playing, I was fired up, especially coming from a guy like Cooch, who isn't that type of guy usually. But you could tell they were saying, you know what? Screw this. Like, we're not just going to sit here and just let the narrative be what it's been. It felt like there was an attitude adjustment, just that one hit. And, in the rest of the game, a lot of other things happened too. But that was a big tone setter. I hate when people say a hit was a tone setter because usually it's not. But that one, to me, felt like it really was before anything else even happened.
Well, because of who it was and the situation it was, and I don't think it was so much of a message to Florida. I think it was more of a message to themselves.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like, you know, I mean, their backs are against the wall. There was no hiding it. It's true. I mean, a loss and you're done. You know, you're going to have a long offseason if you lose that game. So you had to come out firing. So, I mean, everything that played into that first period and the Lightning, gave up 5 shots in that period. Like, that's the way you're supposed to open a game, particularly at home.
Everything we've been waiting on, not just the first goal, but to go out and outplay them, really outplay them for a period. And they did that in spades.
And they converted on the power play, which is something last game they had 4 of them and weren't able to do. So you convert the first goals on the power play. Then you get a shorthanded goal from Brendan Hagel, which, you know, that's the first shorthanded goal for the Lightning in the playoffs since round 1 of 2022. Anthony Cirelli did it.
Yep.
And then you get a 4-on-4 goal from Braden Point. They got 2 4-on-4 goals tonight.
Yeah, they had the weird. It was like the Mario Lemieux hat trick where he scored like every possible way. The Lightning scored at 5-on-4, 5-on-3, 4-on-4, 4-on-5, and 5-on-5.
They did get 1 5-on-5 goal finally.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, they did. They scored every possible way. I mean, I didn't even think about that.
They didn't get a 3-on-5, I guess.
But. Yeah, I guess they could have gotten a 3-on-5. But they had the cycle, basically, for ways to score goals.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. And it ends up, and they needed every one of them. I mean, that game, you know, as good as the first period was, you knew there'd be pushback. The kind of pushback we'd kind of been hoping to see from the Lightning after their first periods. We didn't really see it the first 3 games. But Florida did show it in this game after the first period the Lightning had. And they never did tie it back up, but it got within a goal and it got close. The fourth goal of the game, I thought, was it ends up being technically the game-winning goal. At the time, we didn't know it would be that way. But, you know, when things were getting a little bit hairy and it got to be 3-1, that Hagel goal, the 4-on-4 one, was where you said, that. I mean, it turns out wasn't over, but that's where I kind of relaxed and said, okay, I think we're going to win right now.
And I think Sergei Bobrovsky would like that goal back. I think he'd probably like the first Hagel goal back shorthanded.
Yeah.
And probably the Braden Point one as well.
Yeah, the
He completely misplayed that goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that goal was set up. That goal has been set up for years in the making, to be honest. Because one of the complaints I've always had, and Braden's probably the biggest culprit of this, every time he enters a zone coming down one of the wings, he stops at the half wall and circles back. Every single time.
Doesn't crash.
And if he's going towards the net, he's going to cut in front and shoot. And Sergei Bobrovsky played it like, oh, this is Braden Point. There's no doubt about it. He's cutting in front to shoot or shooting right for the edge of the post. And Braden did the wraparound, and Bobrovsky was nowhere to be found.
No, he was too.
I mean, it was.
It's a good point.
That's years set up in the making. And Braden Point finally, and I guess I shouldn't say finally because he's probably done it a couple times before, but basically went against everything that the scouting report says he's going to do. And he went the other way, and it was wide open. And, it's a great play by Braden Point.
Yeah, and the way he skates and with his center of gravity where it is and the skating ability he has, I mean, yeah, crashing the net is something he should do more. And when he goes down like that, like you said, Bobrovsky, he was in a blender at that point.
Dave Mischkin said he went fishing.
I don't blame him either. I'm not making fun of Bobrovsky. That was, just a really great play by Point. Yeah. And he still had to finish, and he did. There were a couple goals in that game, and we'll look at the numbers. Obviously, in a 6-3 game, the goaltending numbers aren't going to be pretty either way.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobrovsky's expected goals against, do you want to take a stab at that? I'll do that one real quick. And then
I gave up. I'll say it's probably 4.5, 5.
3.65. So
wow,
2.35 goals in the red. Compared to expected for Bobrovsky. And he's had a great series, and he'll be ready to go on Monday night, no question. Mm-hmm. A little bit less of a day today. Vasilevsky, for his part, allowed actual goals against of 3. What do you think his expected goals was?
Probably right around. I mean, the Ekman-Larsson goal, he probably wants that one back.
Yeah. 2.24.
As I say, the Reinhardt goal, I don't know what you're supposed to do with that one.
Yeah.
Verhage. Yeah, I mean, that's probably about right.
Yeah. 0.76 allowed above expected. Not bad. I mean, yeah, not.
Yeah.
He was playing with a lead all day as well. And that's a big part of it. I mean, getting a 3-0 lead is a big deal. So it's hard to do, obviously. And the Lightning were able to do it. And then they needed every bit of it as they got a little bit, I don't want to say they didn't play a good period. I thought they got a little bit loose defensively. I think Florida's forecheck, for as much as we talk about it, it was a factor in the second period, but it also felt like there were a lot of unforced errors by the Lightning in that period too.
They stopped doing some of the stuff they did in the first.
They stopped chipping
it out. They stopped making the simple play and started just trying to possess the puck, which Florida's forecheck, when you do that, can result in turnovers, and it did.
Yeah, and a couple of those ended up in the Lightning net, but all's well that ends well, then things get... I'd said last week, not even last week, 2 days ago, last show, I should say, that even though the hit numbers were high on both sides, and in particular for the Lightning, they've had a couple games now with more hits than any regular season game. It still, even despite that, didn't feel like this series had any snarl or nastiness, and the hit numbers were kind of deceiving. Well, today, the Lightning had 75 hits in game 4 of yesterday, I should say. And that was not just a record for these playoffs, which they had already set one time and broke again, but they also that's the franchise record for any playoff game ever, 75 hits in a playoff game. But it did come with the accompanying snarl. Montour, he didn't forget about what happened earlier. He cross-checks Kuch in the head later in the game.
Yeah, that's a dirty play.
I know people always, it's your team. Oh, our guys are angels and the other team's the bad guy, blah, blah, blah. That really was out of line. Lightning fan talk.
The guy's
that's
down on the ice with his face toward the ice and you cross-check him in the back
come on.
That's a dirty play.
Yeah.
Like, that should be suspendable, that kind of play. I mean, because that's intent to hurt. I mean, you're not hitting a guy.
Yeah, they'll never do that.
You're not following your check. You're not finishing a check. That's a dirty play. And if a Lightning player did it, I would say the same thing.
Sure. And if it happened in the regular season, I think it would be a suspension maybe. There's no way they do that in the playoffs.
You know, one of the things I hate in the playoffs?
What?
Is at the end of a game like this, you start seeing, it was possible one of the Panther players speared a Lightning guy at the end. Like, You ought to, officials ought to be able to call penalties, and it carries over the next game.
Right, yeah. It's house money. You can do whatever you want. Like, there's a minute left. Nobody cares.
Panthers start on the penalty kill next game. Go ahead. Spear somebody. Start on the penalty kill. Like, they should be able to, in a series, you ought to be able to do that. To avoid that crap at the end.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sort of maybe caveat for if it's not, you know, non-hockey penalty, like any type of unsportsmanlike.
Well, yeah, particularly, yeah, like after, yeah.
Those carry over.
But even that, I mean, like I always hate, like, at the end of an overtime, you know, time's ticking down.
10 seconds
left, and there's a breakaway, and you go trip the guy because you know it's not going to hurt you. The 2-minute power play does nothing for you because the overtime or even the end of the game, whatever. But, you know, like, that ought to carry, you ought to be carry over to the next game or something like that. I don't know.
No, I think, like I said, I'd have a caveat built in. Any hockey, a normal hockey penalty, no, but anything extracurricular does carry over. That would cut down. I wouldn't want a guy with a tripping call to have it go into the next game where it's not something dirty. But yeah, I could see that. And speaking of the penalty shot, there could have been one today with Braden Point.
It could have been. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, and this is, I was still in the car at this point yesterday when it happened. Mm-hmm. Michigan and Espo were saying they were actually glad they didn't call a penalty shot. They'd rather have the 2 minutes.
So they've long been a proponent of, if you get a penalty shot, if you miss it, you should still be able to get a penalty.
That's what I was going to say. Then they threw that out there. I don't agree with that at all.
I think it should be your decision. If it's a penalty shot,
you as a team
should be able to decide, do I want the penalty kill or do I want the power play or do I want the penalty shot? You take your choice.
You can choose. You don't get both. You can choose, though.
Yep.
Because, I mean, a penalty, you know, the whole idea is that you want to get the scoring chance back that you were robbed of by breaking of the rules. So a penalty shot is the ultimate breakaway. Right. So if you protect, but yeah, okay, maybe you want the power play. That's fine. But if you don't score on the penalty shot, that's it. Yeah, I don't think you should have both either. And I think most of the time, and it depends on what kind of caliber team you are and who drew the penalty, who's going to be taking the penalty shot. A team like the Lightning, especially with their power play, is usually going to want the 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they didn't end up scoring on that power play, although the rest of the day they
did. Well, some of it may depend on scoring situation. If you have a lead, you may want the 2-minute power play to eat some clock, if nothing else. But,
and that's part of the fun.
If you're down and it's late and there's only a minute left, maybe you want the penalty shot because you don't get a full power play. Or, you know, I would love to see the team get a choice. Get a if it warrants a penalty shot, the team should have a choice.
Yeah. And I know they're going to be loath to call those anyway, so they stuck with the tripping call, and I'm fine with it. I wasn't complaining about it, but that was another thing that came up earlier today. We talked about Sergachev. We talked about Cooch a little bit. We'll talk about him more coming up, though.
Well, Sergachev looked great. He played, what, 17 minutes?
Yeah, no, he was out there. It was, like I said, it wasn't anything symbolic. He was out there contributing, and he played a lot of hockey today.
Got blocked two shots, had an assist.
Yeah. And actually, his pairing with Chernak, they were out on the ice for 12-21, had an expected goals percentage well above 50%. They were one of the positive contributors. Hedman and Dumba were still underwater in the negatives. The Sergachev-Chernak pairing was their best one. Lilleberg-Crozier also was a little bit above 50%. But yeah, Sergachev played well. I mean, he got the assist, but beyond that, he played well.
Well, and he was needed, too, because Darren Radish wasn't able to go.
Yeah. So he's had a good sit. Radish has been good every game. Like, Radish has been up there.
Yes, he has. So you were down one of your best defensemen. So it was you know, that was another reason it was great to see Sergachev back. Yeah. Radish got hurt. Looks like late in the second period of game three. He was late coming back out for third period, but did play some, but had a lot less minutes and shifts in game three and wasn't able to go game four. So
yeah. And so we talked about those guys. We haven't talked really yet about the captain, Steven Stamkos. And I know we were saying it the other day and talking about his performance even in game three, where he was one of the, well, he was the best player on the ice for the Lightning for sure, but he was one of the best players overall on the ice the other day. And then yesterday, two goals. And I'll tell you, you know, you look for things that put a bounce in your step. Obviously, the game opening goal was really cool and really big to get that. The Lightning have been needing that. But little things sometimes are what do it for me. And it's 3-0 in the series. So it's almost like, not that you're saying to yourself, well, we're going to lose anyway, because they may not. But you're just kind of, it's everything's a little dampened, a little muted. But when he scored the goal, the fist pump he gave, I was like, okay. They kind of think that, you know, like he celebrated that goal like they were up 3-0 or like it was a game seven. I mean, he was pumped when he scored, and then I got pumped when he scored.
He has been the best player for the Lightning in this series, no question.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
It's not close.
He has been absolutely spectacular. Like everything you want to see out of your captain and one of the greatest players in franchise history. Like, if there's any question about his heart as your captain, there isn't now. I mean, not that there was, but
no.
Like, it's been fun to watch him in this series and to see that emotion too. I mean, you know how bad he wants us.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell. I mean, listen, no matter what happens, and I know there's been a lot of speculation and everything. No, was that his final home game? And, you know, on and on and on. But beyond just the specifics of whatever happens with his contract, I mean, he's not getting younger. And for guys, I think it's even harder for guys who've been there before and, like, who've not just held the Stanley Cup, but just been through that crucible that the playoffs is so many times. And he's, you know, he's had a second career in the playoffs if you add up all the games he's played and everything, almost had a couple seasons on. And so, yeah, you don't know how many more times you're going to have a chance to play in games like this. You know, I mean, that alone is probably weighing on not just him, but some of the older guys, because you don't want the sun to set on that stuff. And it kind of felt like it was, and it's still, you know, I hope it's not, no matter what happens in this specific playoff run right now. But after the first three games, it felt like it might be happening real quick. So, yeah, I guarantee you he's feeling that a little bit.
Well, and he's one that knows what it's like to miss playoff games, because he's missed quite a few in his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed, you know, all but five shifts in the bubble. Missed a lot of the 2016 playoffs. Missed, I mean, he's, you know, yeah. You know, when Sergachev comes back and joins the middle, like, Stamkos knows that feeling.
Yeah.
Stamkos knows exactly what he's gone through and to get there, and Stamkos isn't going to let any opportunities go by, and you love to see that.
No, it was really, really cool to see. Really cool to see. And so I wanted to ask you, what do you think? And I know this is not our off-season show yet because the series is still going on, but let's, you know, he had a great game again for the second game in a row. Let's talk about it. Where do you think right now, if there was like a little, almost like the deserved a win-a-meter on Money Puck for each game, where do you think the Stamkos stay-a-meter is right now between 0 and 100% if you had to put that needle somewhere?
I don't think there is a meter. I think...
I know there's not.
Well, here's what's going to happen. And only Steven Stamkos is going to be able to answer it. But it's going to depend on a few things. Julian Breezewall will make him an offer.
Yeah, something.
It's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be less than he's making now at $8.5 million a year. How long the term is, 2, maybe 3 years, my guess. Pure guess.
Yeah.
So it's 2 to 3 years at whatever the number is.
How bad you want to
say? $5 million, $6 million, whatever. Julian Breezewall will put a value on what Steven Stamkos is and what they think he'll be for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah.
They don't have a ton of cap space. And so, you know, you've got to, and as Julian Breezewall said at the beginning of the year, look, we want Steven Stamkos back. We'd love him to retire as a Lightning player. But I've got to figure out where we're at as a team at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then what needs we have.
Right.
Now, if the Lightning lose in this series, and there's still a good chance they will, it's going to be 2 straight years in the postseason that you went out in the first round.
Yeah.
Is it time to make some changes there?
That's the thing. It's not about his value specifically. It's is he more valuable to another team that's right there or to us and doesn't feel like we're right there?
Right. So the question is, whatever value Julian Breezewall puts on him, like I said, is it 4, 5, 6 million, whatever, and for how long? Steven Stamkos can either choose to accept that and say, I'm in, great, or he can get to July 1 or the couple days prior when you can talk to other teams like he did 8 years ago and see what else is out there. And if somebody comes with $8.5 million for 4 years compared to, let's say, just say $5 million for 3 years. Then he's got to decide, is it worth it? And everyone could sit there and talk about he should do this. Like, only he knows the answer.
No, these are people's lives. Yeah,
like,
you can't.
I believe he wants to stay in Tampa. I believe he wants to probably live here at least half the year when he retires. He may go back to Toronto in the summers and here in the winters. I believe that's probably what he wants. So is he willing to go to another city for a couple years and play? And what's that worth to him? You know, Alex Killorn had to do the same thing last offseason.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what offer the Lightning made. There's been a couple reports, but we don't know what it was. But ultimately, he got 4 years at $6.25 million in Anaheim, so a $25 million contract. And he said, that's worth it for me to go to Anaheim, even though he said, I'm going to retire here in Anaheim or Tampa. So,
oh, yeah, they all come back. There's so many guys around here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even guys that didn't ever play here. There's a lot of athletes that live here.
Absolutely.
I've seen them at my kids' school, like people, not just guys that played for the Rays or the Bucks or the Lightning, just guys mm-hmm. that played in the league. And, I mean, well, Jeter's an example of that, too. I know he doesn't live here anymore, but yeah, people want to be here. And hey, I totally get that. I mean, I'm born and raised, but yeah, I totally understand it. So like you're saying, and it's neither you nor I or anybody can tell anybody else how to live or what's important to them or what they want, but
everybody's got a price for things. And
yeah, I've always wondered like how much money, I mean, he's got all these guys, especially someone like Stamkos, does an extra $3 million make a difference?
Yeah, but quality of life when. But like I said, if you get 8.5 for say four years, okay, that's
yeah,
$34 million compared to $5 million for 3 years, 15.
No, yeah, it's $20 million almost. I understand that's not nothing, no matter how much money you have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so at some point, where everybody's number's different, and I'm never going to fault a guy for, look, athletes have a limited shelf life to make their money, as far as playing the game.
Yeah,
like they don't work till you're 65. They can go on and do other things afterwards, but the game they love that they grew up playing, that's their dream. You know, I mean, that's one thing athletes struggle with is once they retire is like, this is everything I worked my life for. Now
yeah,
what do I do?
And you did it. Like, even if you have all the money, like, yeah, you mm-hmm. do something for 40 years. What are you going to do?
You know, yeah. So you're never going to fault a guy for that. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. Hopefully we're not discussing this further for several more series.
Yeah, you know,
hopefully
yeah,
it's not
right.
till late June that we need to discuss this.
You're right. That'd be something. I always looked at it like I look at income, not to get all like financial mm-hmm. and everything, but I look at it like a spigot, basically. So like there's a little drip for people that don't make that much money, and then there's like your routine kitchen faucet for your average person, mm-hmm. and maybe like a nice shower, like a good powerful shower for like rich people,
mm-hmm.
conventionally rich people, like, you know, people you know, like doctors and lawyers. But then for pro athletes, it's like a fire hose, like of just money, just, you know.
No, if you're at the top of your game.
Right. Except if you're a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman, whatever profession, even if it's just kind of like a nice hot shower of cash instead of a fire hose, it's like you said, you can do it 40 years of that, you know, dentist, whatever yep. you want it is. As an athlete, you get the fire hose, but you get it for maybe, and Stamkos is even an exception already as long as he's been around. But yeah, that fire hose, and once it turns off, that's it. I mean, guys like him can do broadcasting and stuff like that. But yeah, so I mean, I understand what you're saying there. Now, the fire hose has been on for so long that, you know, I think every fire has been put out in not just his house, but his kids and his grandkids and their kids and their kids. I think he's got enough money for all that. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, how much does, you know, stability matter? And is, you know, I know he's got young kids and all that stuff. I mean, the people like that can do whatever they want. But yeah, I wonder. We'll see. Like you said, it's up to Breezeball to make that first offer. And it's up to Stamkos to see if he can come back with something. And it's up to these other GMs, 31 of them, to see if they want to come over the top or not. But I'll tell you what, and I'm not really, I mean, when I'm watching these games live, I'm not thinking about it. I know a lot of people on Twitter, like I'm watching the game and people are tweeting every time Stamkos does anything, like they're already getting emotional. I'm just watching these like normal playoff games. So I'm not thinking about Stamkos's last this or last that. It hasn't really registered in my mind that way.
But we don't know if it's a last. Like, it's not like he's announced I'm retiring or, you know, I mean, we don't know that. I mean, could it have been his last game at Amalie Arena on Saturday night? Yes, it could have been. You don't know, but you know the way he's playing, you sure like to think that they got a shot in game five. So, you know, let's come back game six and play it again.
Yeah. It's tough being a GM. I mean, you're always weighing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a GM,
you know, right now versus the future, that's always tough to do. And sometimes it's obvious, but it's not always that obvious. And like, I love Stamkos. I love this whole core. I still think with this core, they're good enough to always potentially make some noise with a few slight improvements here and there. But yeah, I mean, like, you can't let emotions influence the next 5 years of this hockey club or 10 years or whatever it is.
And but it's also why in sport, rarely does a player play his whole career for one team.
Oh, almost never anymore.
Yeah, rarely. Because at some point, the organization goes, we need to start moving on. The skills are diminishing some. The age is up there. And, you know, so we need to start looking in another direction. But the player still wants to keep playing, and someone's willing to pay them because of who they are. You know, whether it's Tom Brady or Joe Montana or, you know, go through the list. Wayne Gretzky played for multiple teams. I mean, you know, rarely does a player play for one team for their whole career anymore.
No, it's
hockey maybe has a little more often. You know, like Sidney Crosby's going to play for the Pens his whole career, Ovechkin for the Caps.
Right.
You know, but rarely does that happen anymore because the players want to play. Usually star players are the last ones to know their skills have diminished.
Of course.
But there's always teams willing to pay because of the name, because of the marketing.
Right, they get a little extra cushion on that anyway.
And some of the, you know, hey, this helps our other guys, even if they're not as good as they once were, just being around. I mean, Michael Jordan played for the Wizards.
Yeah.
You know, it rarely happens. I know everybody wants the storybook endings, and players do too, but it's not reality in today's game for most.
It's like the old saying goes, things usually end badly, otherwise they wouldn't end. Not that I'm saying this is going to end badly, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, if it was that easy to do, then it wouldn't be ending to begin with. Hedman's another one's got a chance to do it too. I mean, his contract situation is a little different than Stamkos.
He's up in one more year, so.
Yeah, he's got one more year, but you know, we'll see about that. And those guys are still playing at a high level. Clearly Stamkos still is, and I'll be the first one to say it. I say it all the time because I always want to be accountable. I wondered, not just quietly, but aloud, back in 2020 when he had the oblique thing, and I was like, man, you know, I love him, but his body's breaking down. The salary cap, it's really a drain on the salary cap having a big number like that. I said this. I said maybe the Lightning should look at moving on, you know, maybe for the benefit of both of them. And that was before he came back and scored the goal, just the one goal, you know, in 2020 in the Stanley Cup final. But even beyond that, and then he came back with a vengeance and has stayed back with a vengeance ever since then.
Well, and he said too, look, and this is what you forget sometimes. He, you know, when he, after the 21 season, he had a whole offseason to train.
Right.
Not rehab. He had spent the last few offseasons rehabbing. And he came out in, what was it, 2022, and was flying. And it was like, wait a minute. He actually got to train that offseason instead of rehab, and he was a much better player. Like, there's a big difference for these guys. You know, he got to train and get stronger and work on skating instead of just, I'm trying to come back from this latest injury.
Right. And the drudgery that comes with that and just training.
Which is why, you know, when players come back from injuries, you know, they're not always 100%. And, you know, even though sometimes we expect them to be, they're not.
Yeah. It's not because of the injury. Like, the injury is 100%, but then their rest of them isn't 100% because they were focused on the injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Chris Godwin was like that with the Bucks this past year.
No question about it.
You know, I mean, he was back, but he wasn't, I think, this coming year, not to get off topic. Well, it's the same type of thing.
A lot of it's mental, too. I mean, can I cut on this leg? Can I, you know, there's going to be some Mikhail Sergachev on the ice, like, you know, taking a hit or going into a corner this way or, you know, where he, in his mind, you're wondering. You know, that's always the biggest part of these injuries.
Yeah.
It's the body will heal itself and you can train it, but your mind, because, you know, also when you're injured, you have nothing but time. Like, you think a lot.
Yeah. It's just,
you're not in your daily grind of what happens in a season and train and eat and work out and blah, blah, blah. You know, you end up with a lot of time and you're by yourself for a lot of it. And it's a different experience for athletes. And, you know, that's why it's always a big thing when players start coming back on the ice and practicing with their team, even if they're in the no contact jersey, because they're back with the team. They're back in the routine. They're, you know, that next man up mentality, it's true in sports. You're hurt. You're not part of the team. Yeah, you're at the rink, but you're skating before or after practice. You're in the training room. You're not in the locker room. You're like, it truly is like we got to focus on the guys that are going to play tonight, not the guys that are going to play hopefully in 3 weeks from now. Or
Jimmy Johnson for the Cowboys, famously, he didn't want him around. It wasn't because he didn't like him, but the guys were hurt. He didn't want them. He didn't want the I'm going to support the team and stay on the sidelines in my short. He didn't want you around if you weren't. You know, he didn't believe in that. And that's not. I'm not saying it's like that, but yeah, I mean, to have him back now, doing what he's doing, just to give you a few numbers on here, he scored 2 goals in this game. He has scored in every game in this series, all 4. He's now up to 6 points for the series, 5 goals and an assist. And he's got, let me see here, a few things here. First of all, he became the 4th player age 34 or older in NHL history with a 4-game goal streak to start a postseason. Rick Tocchet in 1998 did it, Teemu Selanne in 2011, and Gordie Howe in 1963. Stamkos also now has over 101 playoff points with the 2 goals, or has 101. He is over 100. He has 50 goals and 51 assists. That passes Andre Palat for sole possession of 2nd in Lightning history for all-time playoff goals. And he's also the club's 3rd member of the 100-point postseason club. That's with Kucherov and Hedman. And like you said, I mean, he's missed a lot of postseason games that he could have played, and obviously he'd be higher than someone like Hedman on defense because they played in the same playoff games. But yeah, now they're all 3 in that club along with Kucherov, and pretty cool stuff. I mean, whatever ends up happening now, when it's 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and people are having those sports talk debates on a slow day about what's the Mount Rushmore of Tampa sports, I mean, Stamkos is on there without question. I remember when they drafted him, Steve, I was working at 1010, which isn't even a station now, I was doing my show, and they were taking him around on a tour of all the local radio stations and TV stations, and I mean, just everywhere. And I just got really lucky the time of day that he came to our station happened to be when I was live on the air. So they walked him in the studio. And he sits down across from me, and I've been on, you know, I've been hosting a radio show at this point for like 10 minutes. You know, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And he starts, he called me sir after everything I said, and I stopped him. And then on the air, I said, look, man, I'm like 5 minutes older than you. You don't have to call me sir. I think I'm like 5 years, not even that. Like, I'm like barely older than him. I'm like, don't call me sir. You can just call me Bobby. It's, you know, but he was so polite, so classy. Mm-hmm. And nothing's changed. Like, he's not like a big league type of guy. Like, he's just a, you know, like nothing has changed. But you can see, you know, and he's not like scraggly beard, missing teeth, like that type of grit, but he's gritty in a different way. And you can see the way the other 19 guys out there respond to him. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see. And the other night, we talked about it on the show 2 days ago, and then I didn't really notice it on the air, but when he went down to block the empty net shot, the way he choked up on his stick like a goaltender, I love stuff like that. Like, that was great to me.
No question about it. And, you know, he doesn't have to sell out like that. It's an empty netter. You're probably losing the game anyway. He's got a history of injuries, but look how he sold out on that.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting an empty netter, 30 seconds later, whatever it was. But,
yeah, it didn't matter.
But he did stop that chance and gave him another chance to try to tie that game.
Yeah, and that's that. You know, when you're at this time of year, and these guys have all been through this before, especially this group, you know, those are the types of things where you just do them instinctively. And that's one of the reasons why I love the playoffs so much, is because of all the different sports, and the NHL playoffs aren't the only good playoffs, but the NHL playoffs have the biggest difference, the biggest like step up from the regular season to the playoffs of any sport. And that's one of the, I mean, it just feels different and hits different. And so that's why it's so great that we have a next game. All you can ever hope for is the next game. We've got one, Lightning Panthers, Monday, 7 p.m. in Sunrise. It'll be game 5. And if they win that, and this is what we said 2 days ago, Steve, I don't try to think of anything in like big blocks. Oh, we got to win 4 in a row. Obviously, every game is 1 at a time. But I said even before this one yesterday, I said, win 2. Like, let's talk about winning 2 and making it 3-2. Because then you've got a pressure situation where the Panthers are like, oh, we really need to win tonight. We don't want this to go 7. And if the Lightning can win, it's going to be tough to go on the road and win. I guarantee you the Panthers will play much, much better than they did last night. I guarantee you it'll be tough. But if they can get a win somehow on Monday, then not going that far yet, but we might have a little something then.
Well, then the Panthers are up 3-2 going on the road.
Right.
Where
game 7s are random, dude. No, you don't know what's going to happen in those.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's...
So they don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, that puts the pressure. That 3-2, winning two in a row, and then the Lightning coming home for game six.
Right.
Like, that puts the pressure on Florida because you don't want to risk a game seven, even though it would be in your barn if you're Florida.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So, it's you know, Steven Sankos talked about we're just taking it a period at a time. And Brendan Hagel even said that on the radio in the first intermission. You know, after the first period, they were up 3-0. He said, look, it's one period. We've got 11 more or more of these to go.
Yeah.
Like, it's one period. Like, we can't just go, hey, we had a great period. That's good. Like, it's, you know, Lightning have to follow that effort up. And that, particularly that start. You know, it's the first time they got off to a good start in this
yeah.
playoff series.
It was big. They didn't have a great second period, but they were able to, because the first period was so good, they were able to mm-hmm. stay in front. And then things stayed.
It's a lot different period. When you're playing with the lead. And before, before
so
game four, they had played with the lead for 7 minutes. It was like 7 minutes and 2 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, now you got to play pretty much the whole game. I mean, they scored about 9 minutes in. So you played 51 minutes with the lead in game four. And yeah, got a much better out. And also the way they shut them down in the third period. Give up 5 shots when you go into that period up 1 goal.
Yeah, that's what we saw in 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. even 2018, 2019, not 2019 maybe, but
yeah, you know, 2019 not for sure.
But yeah, that's what the Lightning's identity was. It wasn't just high flying highlight mm-hmm. goals. It was the ability to just close it down, and they did that.
Their identity was get a lead, then lock it down.
Yep.
And
it's going to take more.
Saturday
of that.
Night they definitely did that. That's the type of performance they're going to need more of that. You're going to need 3 more of that in this series.
Yeah. 3 and only 3 is the Lightning will have to win the next 3, but they only have to win 1 on Monday, and that's the one coming up next. Look at a few more numbers here from Numbers Corner. Speaking of the first goal, teams to score first in these playoffs league-wide now are 15-8. Actually, not as I would have thought it'd be more, but 15-8. There's been a few games where, and like I know the Islanders, and they won in overtime, but I know they scored first the other day and gave up like 5 in a row after that, and a few other times it's happened. But 15-8 is the record of teams to score first. The higher seed is 16-7 so far. Home team's just 13-10. And looking at some individual numbers for the Lightning, I know we mentioned Stamkos and some of the things that he achieved with his 2 goals yesterday. Victor Hedman had 3 assists. That's 94 total in the playoffs for his career. He passes Scott Stevens and Sergei Zubov for 10th all-time in league history by a defenseman in playoffs with 94. Kuch with a 3-point game. And hey, wait, what do you say about Kuch 2 days ago? He's letting them down. Not letting them down, but we said, you know, they really need him to get going if they're going to succeed. So Kuch plays a good game. Look what happens. The Lightning win. 3-point game for him.
And they were all primary assists too.
Yeah, it wasn't any cheapos, wasn't any empty netters or secondaries. They were all primaries. And now he's got, in his career, 22 3-point playoff games. And so
fourth most in league history.
Fourth most. Wayne Gretzky, Messier, and Jari Kurri and Kuch. They're the only guys to have done that. It's unbelievable. That's a really short list, and obviously those are Hall of Fame guys there. And Kuch will be one day too. But just a couple of other numbers I wanted to throw out there. So hey, we got another show. Not just the next game, but another show, right, Steve? So we'll be on 47 hours from now, Tuesday morning.
That's correct.
Hopefully talking about another show after that. And in the meantime, what do we got on Monday with a nice traditional 7 p.m. face-off?
We got Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli at noon, as always. They'll be recapping the game, and then our pregame coverage will get underway at 6:30 on Monday night with Greg Linnelli.
There we go. Hey, get rested, everybody. It's been a busy weekend. And not just for the Lightning and the Lightning getting the win in Amalie Arena, but there's been a lot going on around Tampa. Everybody's been busy. I can tell. I have been. So let's rest today. You got all day Monday. Take it easy at work. You know, just it's all about game 5, 7 o'clock on Monday night. And we'll be back on Tuesday morning, hopefully talking about game 6 coming up and all those things. But either way, we'll be here. So thanks to all of you for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Bobby Gameday, BobbyGameday. Steve Versnick at Steve Versnick. And you can email me too, BobbyGameday@yahoo.com. So have a good rest of your day today, Steve. And we'll be looking forward to the whole lineup tomorrow with Lightning Power Lunch and everything leading up to face-off. And folks, get ready for our next game. And until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and let's go Lightning.